Hey, good morning.
Good to see everybody. Best looking church in the world. I'm a little biased. I think you're amazing. I'm super excited about bringing the Word of God to you today. Real quick, show of hands, how many of you got a chance to engage with any of the N.T. Wright stuff this last week? Yeah, that was absolutely amazing. I don't need you to raise your hands, but how many believe that he is both smarter and closer to God because of his accent? You know, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. I feel like when he talks, it suddenly sounds godly, right? You know, and I say stuff and people are like, meh, nobody cares. But anyway, if you are British, you are closer to Jesus. I did hear that, but that's fine. Anyway, super neat experience. Got some time with him directly. A humble man, good man. Just you want to talk about somebody that's been an influencer to the influencers. One of the greatest minds, greatest influencers in our entire generation, all across the planet. Incredible, incredible guy. And I feel like whenever he would talk, he would say something and you'd realize 5 minutes later how important it was, right? And you're like, I should have taken notes, dang it, right? But I believe that it was a win for our church. I believe it was a win for the region. We had a luncheon with a bunch of pastors. We had about 60 pastors that gathered together and just giving them some special time with him as well. Part of what we do as our assignment as the Church of Bridgeway is to consistently equip and resource whatever we can other churches. We need them to succeed and thrive. Amen. Amen. We're one family, and we are connected in Jesus Christ. Now, what I got for you today is a fresh word. How many need an encouragement message today? Yeah? You need an encouragement? All right, so we got some incredible encouragement for you. You're going to need your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under the seat in front of you. If you brought your own, I'm going to help kind of get you where you need to go. If you're brand new to Christianity, brand new to church, those Bible under the seat in front of you, I give you the page number to help you track with us. You were also given a handout sheet at the front door when you walked in, I hope, that has some areas for you to take notes. It has a fill in the blank that I'm going to draw your attention to here in a moment. But I wanted to begin with some thoughts. We're gonna be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit today. And there's a reason why we have a Holy Spirit series we are kicking off right here, right now. But I wanted to talk through why we have a year of breakthrough for those of you that are just joining us. Every year we have a yearly theme, and this is the year of breakthrough. There's areas in our lives we know we are stuck. There's areas in our lives that we are still in bondage to sin. There's areas of our lives where we are simply not living into the freedom that Jesus has for us. Some of it's religiosity. Some of it is traps we've created for ourselves and self-created drama. Some of it is the enemy messing with us. Some of it is just life difficulty, right? But in all that, I know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit have a solution for every single one of those situations, and we're going to dive into that all year long. But in this particular message, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin with two categories of troubles, two categories of areas where we may be stuck in our life. And the first category is areas that are serious, that are painful, that are difficult, but they have practical solutions. Right? There are some things in our lives that we know if we put our heart and mind to it, we could probably see some victory. And I think that this year, a lot of us are going to be wrestling with specifically those issues. And again, just because they have practical solutions does not mean that they are not difficult. As I walk through this sample list, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So when I say things that have a practical solution, I'm talking about things like compulsive behaviors. Now, a compulsion and an addiction are two different things. We'll get to addiction later. But a compulsive behavior is something that you have built a habit around and you're having a really hard time breaking out of it, right? It could be everything from simple food issues where you're just like, man, like I don't know about you, but I suffer from a condition called I must have a treat after eating. You know, I don't know if you have this condition, but it is diagnosable. Every time I have something like a meal, right, which my wife would argue wings aren't a meal. I agree, I believe they are. But anyway, so after I have a meal, I immediately go, I must have something sweet or I will die. Okay, so anyway, some of you suffer from that. Now, in that, there's some things about diet and exercise. There's some things that it could be even over into the area, man, I'm really kind of compulsively smoking. I'm involved with weed. I'm all these different things. And you realize they're ultimately leading us into some type of a trap, that it's unhealthy for us and it's starting to wreck some things that we love. And so you realize there are programs, there's support networks, there's things that you can do that can help you lift you out of these compulsive behaviors. I'm talking about financial troubles, right? You got to get out of debt. If getting out of debt was easy, we wouldn't be in debt in the first place, right? But there are programs. There are ways to tighten our belt. There's ways to be thinking wisely about our money. There's ways that we don't need to live above our means. Stuff like that. We can get out of that stuff. It's just really hard. I'm talking about issues about anxiety and depression stuff that's physical, or it is physiological, or it's something we can address with medicine, maybe gut health connections, right? Maybe we could get through it by watching over what we eat, our environments, the things that we have stimuli into our bodies, right? There are things we can do to make it better. I'm talking about our jobs, right? We feel trapped in our job. Every time we go to our job, it feels like it's sucking the life out of us, right? And we don't know what else we could do. We're looking at else, what would pay the bills? We feel very, very trapped. Now, are there solutions to these? Are there solutions to toxic relationships? Yes, we need to learn how to put in boundaries. We need to learn how to use our voice. We need to learn, right? Does that negate that they're hard? No. They're incredibly difficult. I don't want to minimize it. But I believe that the cage that we are in has a key in our pocket. So this year, some of us are going to just need to use the tools that God has already provided, and we got to get out of the trap that we are in. Yeah? Everybody familiar with these types? But there's a different category. There's a category that is so serious that it's God or nothing. Are we all familiar with troubles like that? Here's what I mean. What I'm talking about is a ruined marriage. I'm not talking about we need counseling. I'm not talking about, man, we live as roommates. I'm not talking about, you know, we're not treating each other rightly. I'm not talking about that. Those are all normal things that we are gonna have to work through. What I'm talking about is when every therapist goes, I have no answer for you, not a shot. There's no way this is not going in a terrible place. At that point, it's God or nothing. I'm talking about deep darkness that some of us have ever walked into, where we question whether or not we're wanted on this planet. We question whether or not we can even exist anymore. There are some places that are so dark, someone talking to us can't get through. God has to come into our world in a different way, and he's got to rescue us. I'm talking about inescapable abuse, kids that can't get out of the environment. If God does not come and rescue, they are not empowered to get out of that themselves. I'm talking about deeply rooted trauma. You've been in long-term therapy, and you're just going, God, I can't seem to find any victory. I'm talking about full-blown addiction, where you aren't running your life. You haven't been running your life for a long time. Your addiction's been running your life. You can't even imagine what it would be like without it. If you literally stopped, your whole system would crash. These are things that are just not try harder. We need a miracle from God. And I'm telling you that a lot of us are facing those types of things. Diagnoses that the doctors have said, I can no longer do anything for you. It's God or nothing. And here's my message for you today. When Jesus was talking about salvation, he said something I believe we can apply here. He said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And if you hear nothing else in my message today, if my voice is so soothing, it makes you go to sleep instantaneously, then I just need you to hear one thing of the message. God is able. God can. I don't care what pit you're in. I don't care what damage has occurred. I don't care what you've done. God has a solution for you. He is much greater than our weakness. He is much greater than our failure. That he is able. He can do it, whatever it is. He does messy. He does complicated. He does absurd. He does impossible. He is the God that is able. So I want you to know that no matter what it is, He can do it. God lives in freedom. Did you know that? The Bible talks about Him dwelling in unapproachable light. It says there is no shadow in Him. There's no weight upon His shoulders. He is living in inexpressible joy. And His whole point is, kids, I want you to walk with me in that same excitement. I want you to walk in all of that that I've set you free for. And that is the fill in the blank and why I'm making such a big deal out of it. Here's the fill in the blank. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. So if we want freedom, we need more of Him. We need to walk closer to Him, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Today's message about the Holy Spirit is much more motivational, inspirational. I need you to walk out of here with more hope than you've ever had. I want you to walk out of here with confidence. Next week, we're going to get into the informational side of things. I'm going to help us understand the Trinity. I'm going to help us understand how the Holy Spirit works and operates in His nature, but that's all next week. You see, this year in Breakthrough, we have a series in the Holy Spirit that we're going to sprinkle throughout the year. Most of the year is going to be talking about the book of Romans line by line. But in the middle of that, I never want us to forget Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So this week and next week, I'm bringing to you the first two parts of a six-part series that we're going to be sprinkling throughout the year. And we're going to directly focus on the Holy Spirit, for where the Spirit is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit is not a vague, detached force. It is not merely the motions of God. He is personal, connective. As a matter of fact, listen to this list, that out of all the members of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is that not what we just watched in baptisms? Every person baptized, side note, 42 got baptized this weekend. Is that not awesome? All 42 of those people had one of our pastors say over them, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they went down in that water and they came right back up. And I'm here to tell you that about the Holy Spirit, out of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is the one most engaging with us every day. He is the one that lives with us and lives in us. He's the one that's cleaning up the garbage in our lives. He's the one cleaning out and calling out the damaging aspects that we have allowed to remain. He is our comforter when we get wrecked. He is our encourager when we are discouraged. He's the one providing insights and keys to unlock the bondage areas of our lives. He is the power source that rises us from what we would call death. This is the Holy Spirit. He's that important. He's that big of a deal. And so we're going to dial in on Him. Today we're going to be covering three passages. I would like you to take out your Bible and turn to the first of three. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3:17? 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the Bible under the seat in front of you. It's page 965. 965. That'll get you there. It's helpful to look at it while we're studying. Page 965, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians comes after what? All right, praise God. Here's what it says. You'll understand where I got the fill in the blank. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, meaning Christians, true believers, with unveiled face, meaning not like Moses who had a veil over his face for a time, we are all unhindered beholding the glory of God, and we are being transformed into the image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I know that sounds cryptic. I know it sounds a bit Yoda-like, but it's really just making this incredible point, is that freedom is possible, and with the Holy Spirit, it is probable. Sometimes we lack confidence, we lack faith, we lack the ability to believe that God can. And sometimes here needs to be your default. If He did it then, He can do it again. If you're reading the Bible and you see a miracle, if He did it then, He can do it again. It may not be the exact same scenario, but it's the exact same power. It may not be the exact same problem, but it's the same God. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the way that I look at it is that if I look back, the power of the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to heal the eyes of the blind. If he can do that miracle, then he can help me change my perspective on the world. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to raise up and heal the paralytic. And if he can do that, nothing can keep me down. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to cast out and restore a man who was possessed with a legion of demons. And if that is the case, then there is no mental condition, there is no experience inside my brain that God cannot minister to. And if the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, then there ain't no addiction that can ever own me forever. If he did it then, he can do it again. What are these roots of these things that keep holding us down? Things like sin and shame and fear. Does God have a solution? He does for each and every one of them. When it comes to sin, and sin is one of those kind of weird cryptic words that we kind of go, well, what do you mean by sin? It simply means anything other than God. It means any activity that is outside what is good. If God is everything that is good and you're not with God, then you don't have good, you have bad. That's sin. If you know that it's against God, that is sin. It's not in his nature. It's not what he's for. That's what we call sin. Here's the problem. Sin started super fast in mankind and has been wrecking us ever since. Is that not true? Have you not looked out in the world and seen a mess? Have you not seen that we are unsafe people with one another? Have you not seen that we hurt each other, that we harm each other? Have you not seen that we cause chaos on our own? Have you not seen that our separation from God is primarily because of the sin in our lives? Does God have an answer for sin? It's the story of the cross. You come into a Christian church, you see a cross on the wall. What's it mean? It means Jesus made a way. That's what it means. The good news, the gospel, is that the Son of God came down here to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. It says that mankind was separated from God because of their sin. But Jesus came down and created a building system to where he could be with us again. It means that he lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross for our sins. He didn't do anything wrong. He was pure and blameless, and yet he went to the cross, and he died for the sins of the world so that if any of us would humble ourselves, surrender ourselves, and say, I need a Savior, he would then impute or give over his righteousness in trade for our unrighteousness. That's the story of the cross. That Jesus dealt with sin. Whatever sin has its trap on you, he broke it. Does that mean we walk in that freedom? Unfortunately not. Does it mean we can? Yes. Because Jesus has made it so. But what about shame? Yeah, how much of us is trapped by shame? We just can't get over ourselves. We have allowed the world to become so bent around us that we can't get past what we've done. We can't get past what other people have done to us. We can't get past the failure. We can't get past the weakness. That we are so wrecked and so embarrassed and so humiliated and so shame-focused that we make ourselves a really tiny little box. But here's what the Bible says. In the book of Romans, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because when you look at yourself and you see your failure, the Father looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And you realize your failure is not the end of the story. My failure is not the end of the story. Jesus is the end of the story. And what he has done is pulled out on that cross. He canceled out the code that stood against you. Are we guilty? We were, until Jesus made it right. Fear, we're so afraid. We're afraid of what people think of us. We're afraid of failure and losing. We're afraid of dying. We have all this fear. Did Jesus say anything about fear? Yeah, all over the entire Bible, it's fear not. Why? Because he's like, I'm not telling you it's not scary. I'm telling you I'm here. And I changed the entire scenario. It's one thing if a little baby was dropped into a pool. It's another thing if it was dropped into their mother's arms in the pool. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not saying it's not a dangerous scenario. I'm telling you that because of who is there, it's no longer scary. If we are built upon the identity that we are children of God, then who cares what other human beings believe about us? And we are set free. If indeed we are afraid of failure, but we realize that doesn't define us, then we're not afraid of failure and we can actually risk and try. If we're afraid of dying, Jesus made it so that that which was the most scary thing on the planet turned into a doorway from glory to glory. He's got an answer every time, all the way across. Probably the most powerful portion of that passage is in verse 18. It says, we are being transformed. That is passive. It means that God has begun something in his children, and he's carrying it on even when you think you took a day off. And I need that, right? Because some days I'm on fire, some days I'm not. Some parts of the days I'm all in, some days I don't want to do anything. Some days I'm super motivated, and some days I want to check out. That's real life. But what's so beautiful about it is the Bible says he who began a good work in you will be what? Faithful to complete it. It says he's not just the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. I'm more convinced in his power to get me where I need to go than my ability to obey. It's been said that you can tell the condition, the goodness of the shepherd by the condition of the sheep. Is the shepherd any good? Here's what's interesting. The shepherd is the one who gets the sheep where they need to go. The shepherd's the one that knows what they need to eat, when they need to eat. The sheep have no clue. Do you understand? They got no idea. And some of us are the fat little roly sheep that fell over and can't get back up. Is that not true? We're like, oh, our little legs are kicking, right? And he's like, come on, Tubby, I got you, buddy. And he just rolls us back over and we come up. We're like, I'm exhausted, I need a snack, right? You know. We fall over again. I mean, that's us. It's not like we're clued in on what's going on, but our shepherd is. He's our good shepherd. He knows. And he started something, and he's working on it whether we're aware or not. He's moving us forward whether we're sleeping or not. That's what the scripture says. We are being transformed. And this is where some of you that maybe be a little bit newer, you would say, listen, dude, I don't know you very well, but it's obvious you and I don't have a lot in common. Like this whole, the way you look, like what are you preppy? What is going on here, right? Like you don't know anything about hardship. Man, look at your hands. They're the softest thing in the world. They're softer than my wife, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're just like, you know, what do you know, dude? You don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about the street. You don't know anything about any of that stuff. Man, where I've come from, have you seen what I've seen, right? You want to play that game with me? I don't want to be rude, but here's my response. Don't care. And here's why. Because I don't need to be an expert in pits. I'm an expert in a rescuer. I don't need to know how deep your pit is because my rescuer, Jesus Christ, is omnipresent. Amen? The truth of the matter is I already know that God is able. My view of God is gonna answer anything that you're going to throw at me. Anything that you're going to say, my God is bigger. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds what? More. It means that he has a solution no matter where you're coming from. So I'm gonna be the eternal optimist and tell you my God is able, no matter where you come from. Let's turn to our second passage of the day, 1 Corinthians 6:9. If you'd bounce back to the left in your Bible, page 955, 1 Corinthians 6:9. 1 Corinthians 6:9, page 955. This is a passage that we tend to avoid because we think that it's a lot about condemnation. I would suggest to you it is a statement about bad news in order to get to the good news. The good news is actually the subject of the passage. All right? 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. What did he just describe? Us. He described Bridgeway pretty well. Right? And you're like, oh, I hate this passage. It's just like, oh, all of this condemnation. No, 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 you missed it because we haven't hit the power spot yet. That's verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what it's about. Amen? Now understand, there's something that I always kind of struggled with in that passage and just understanding that list for a moment. And that was like, how many drinks does it take to be a drunkard, right? Right, I mean, it's different how many licks of a law, you know, anyway. Right? Which, by the way, it's three. It's one, a two, and a three. Okay, anyway, if you don't know that commercial, you're probably older than, anyway, it's not important. Okay, here we go. So when I look at all this, I was looking at the list, and I was like, so how many, when you say drunkard, what do you mean? Like, because what he just described was all of us and all of our struggles. And he was talking, you know, are we honest all the time? No, we're not. Are we there? Are we idolaters? Yes, we are. Are we swindlers? Do we take advantage of one another? Yes, we do. Are we manipulators? Yes, we are. And then you go, but God, isn't that just what we are? And he's like, hold on. The way that Paul wrote that in Greek, he said, you were that. That was your identity. So how many drinks, and you know, you say, how often does somebody need to drink in order to be considered a drug? But I think that's a complicated question. But you'll notice on that list, other things don't line up the same way. How many affairs does it take to be an adulterer? I hope it's one. I saw somebody calculating and they're like, three? And I was like, no, it's one. I thought that was the easiest test so far today, right? And when our identities become other than children of God, we're in a dangerous place. And it begins to disqualify us from the actions of God. And he said, I just need you guys to know that's how y'all came into church, but you have been transformed. First of all, side note, the holier than thou thing is absurd in Lord of the Flies. Do you understand what I'm talking about? May no Christian ever get cocky over somebody else in your righteousness. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is like dirty rags. I'm not impressed with how good your life is because I'm looking at you in comparison to Jesus, and he's pure. So I don't think we should ever look down on anybody else. I think we're all in the same boat, yes? All right, we need a savior. So here's the point, that in all of this, he said, I have done so much work in you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Here's what that means. Washed, it means whatever sin did to mess you up, whatever mark it left, whatever darkness it brought, he can make it whiter than snow. That's what the Bible says. He said sanctified, that is a process whereby we're made more into the image of God. And that is a process we're still walking in. But what it means is the garbage is taken out and our external begins to match our internal. Justified is the word that which Satan used to have against us, because he'd say, look at what they're doing, they're sinning. And all God could say was, yes, they are. There was a point at which Jesus Christ said, put it on my tab. It's not on them anymore. You got nothing. They have been counted righteous. They have been declared justified. and therefore they have a freedom to walk in. One of the most important principles of a life with the Holy Spirit, and it cannot be overstated, is his indwelling presence. We are walking mobile temples. That which the Old Testament saints could never even dream became true in us. We walk around since Pentecost with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? It's got a bunch of ramifications, but one that I think is really important for some of us in the room today is you as a Christian will never, ever be alone. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. If your family leaves you, if your friends leave you, if your spouse leaves you, you're still not alone. I understand we need people with skin on them. I understand we need fellowship. I understand that we need friends. I understand we need community. The Bible says God built us that way. What I'm telling you is that at the heart of it, he's still with you. And he's always with you. And this is so, so critical. Would you turn to our final passage, Acts 10:37, to make this point? Acts chapter 10, verse 37, it's page 919. Bounce back to the left again. Acts 10, 37, page 919. Luke, in writing the book of Acts, said, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all southern Israel, beginning in the north, after the baptism that John the Baptist proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You're like, hold up a second. I thought Jesus was God. He is God. But you're watching the Trinity in play. You're watching Father, Son, Holy Spirit in play. And the way that it worked is that the Father was in contact with the Son when he took on humanity. See, Jesus was not operating on earth in his full-blown God status. He was fully God and fully man, but he was living in that fully man part because he wanted to be a role model for what we would look like as true humans submitted to God. He wanted to show us what it would look like if Adam never sinned. He wanted to go back to the original plan. He wanted someone that his son could only do that would come in and be obedient all the way through. That is so, so powerful. But understand this, that when the Spirit came upon Jesus, Jesus said, hey, I'm gonna set my power aside for a moment and I'm only gonna use it when Holy Spirit, you come upon me. Remember, he's role modeling for us. The Holy Spirit would come upon him, the scripture just said, and he would do mighty miracles. He would receive power. Power for what? Breakthrough. I don't care if it was disease breakthrough. I don't care if it was demonic breakthrough. I don't care what the breakthrough was. Jesus kept getting the power of the Holy Spirit to break chains, break chains, break chains, break chains. Why is that so critical? Is if the Holy Spirit is constantly living in us, then the power for breakthrough is continually with us. Because we may say, I had a breakthrough in college. We may say, I had a breakthrough in young adulthood. We may say, I had a breakthrough when I had my young children. But now, Lord, I'm in bondage again. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit didn't go anywhere. He is present and he is active. Do we walk into traps? Yes. Does he still get us out of them? Yes, he does. Whatever comes up in our lives, you never have to go find God for a solution. He's right here. You never have to go wander for the truth. You know the truth, and it has set you free. When Jesus was talking to a lady out in the desert by a well, he was trying to explain to her the concept of what it would be like to have the Holy Spirit in her life, and he was using a water analogy because they were at a well, and he said, you know, it would be just like being at the source of a natural spring. A natural spring comes up out of the ground and it continues to flow water. It doesn't shut off. It comes from the water table. It is a constant flowing movement. It's kind of how our water system works. And he said, so if the Holy Spirit's in you, it is always erupting with what? More. It means God doesn't get tired of helping. It means God does not get exhausted with prayer requests. It means God is not going, man, I need a day off. He is in full energy mode at all times. And when we walk around with the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is a constant rising up of hope, rising up of power. Let me tell you what this would even look like. There are some saints in the Bible that have what I'm about to say. And I'm telling you, if you want to pray something into your life, you got to pray in the cockroach spirit. You're like, what the? The heck is that? Okay, let me just tell you this. Has anybody ever had a bug in your house you struck with a shoe and it came back to life? You know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, cockroaches are number one. Cockroaches are legit. Like, you're just gonna beat the living daylights out of those things. And they're like, whack-a-mole. They're like, what's up? And they just show up again. You're like, dude, I killed you. Everyone's named Lazarus. Very odd, right? And so we need that cockroach spirit, right? And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that we can become like Paul. Paul and Silas get physically beat, thrown into a dank, nasty dungeon with horrible food, and they're like, I gotta sing. What the heck is wrong with you? They're just like, hey, hit a little something on the guitar, you know, and they're just starting to worship. And you're like, and I feel like all the jailers and everybody in the authorities were like, man, I've been beating on you. Would you just stay down? They're like, I'm happy. And they show up. Why? They're like, I got a supernatural source. You can't ever shut me down. I love this. This is how he said it. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. What was his attitude? I will spring back to life every time. Why? Because whatever you do to me, Jesus can get me back. The Holy Spirit can get me back. All of a sudden, you watch people with that spirit. All of a sudden, David, a young man, running at a giant. What the heck? And then all of a sudden, you see Daniel going head to head with a king, ends up in a lion's den. He's like, bring it. Then you have the Hebrew boy standing up against an empire. They get thrown in the fire. What ends up happening? Did we not throw three men in the fire? Who's the fourth dude? Jesus. You watch Moses go head to head with the empire of Egypt because he knows it's not his fight. Here's my point, that at some point when we begin to understand the power of God in our lives, we all of a sudden, we just have this resilience and we keep springing back up. The Bible says you're gonna get knocked down. The Bible says bad things are gonna happen. The Bible says, man, is that brutal. The Bible is gonna talk about all kinds of trials and tribulations. He never said we wouldn't get struck down. He said we would never needed to stay down. That's different. The Bible's very honest about life, but we have the Holy Spirit, and that's our X factor. As we close out, I want to do one warning for all of you overachievers. Always got to watch out for you. There's a bunch of you little soft-hearted saints that are like, I will do more. Okay, hold on. There are some things that God's doing a work in your life, and you need to be patient. So many of us want microwave transformation. So many of us want microwave solution. God, I have been seeking your help in this condition. The doctors don't know, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm not seeing you answer yet. There's some things that God says, hey, kid, if I did such a fast turnaround on you every time, it would probably shock your system. There are some things I just gotta work on over time. And I get it, it's not in your timing, but here's the deal, kid. I got eternity. I'm not in a rush. Because you keep going, God, you're late, now I'm getting older. And he's like, getting older? What are you talking about? We're together forever. What are you running so hard for? The end of your life ain't the end of your life. We got more. And so some of us, you need to recognize that everything I'm teaching you is not how do I try harder, how do I hurt myself in performance, but it's how do I allow God's power to flow through, do my part, and let him do the rest. And some of us, we just need to give him time. Well, God, you said you had the power to fix my marriage. Clearly it ain't working. She's still irritating. Sometimes the Lord goes, I know. She is, huh? No, I'm kidding. Reads Proverbs. Anyway. But I think that in that is he's going, kid, if I explain to you the chaotic mathematics that are working right now in integration of moving and getting everything in the right place for healing, you'd be okay. Just remember, you called for emergency, and I'm on my way. Be peaceful. Can I have the prayer team come on up here? Let's close this out. God is able. I don't know what stands against you. I don't know what is in your life, but the Holy Spirit knows what to do. So we're gonna lean in. Next week, we're gonna learn about how he works. What does he do? How do these things come into our lives? How do we interact with them? How can we have a relationship with an invisible God that we can't audibly hear? If that stuff is on your heart, that's next week. That's what we're gonna be talking about. But for right now, we're gonna close on a high. We're gonna close knowing God is able. There are some of you that you want breakthrough, and you just need some prayer. That's what this prayer team is for. They're here to pray miracles, breakthrough. They're here to pray and defend you when you feel most weak. Let them defend you. It's why they came. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are so thankful for you, and we are so thankful, Lord, for your kindness, that you have come in and made a way, that no matter what stands against us, you've made a way. God, I didn't even get into the whole idea that every time there's a temptation, you said you give us a way out. You even provided there. Like everywhere we look, you're able. So God, may we walk out of here with a confidence, with a love, with an appreciation, with a humility that you are wonderful. May we go in your power. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Have a wonderful weekend.